3 Nephi chapter 3. In the beginning of this chapter, the leader of the Nephites gets a letter from the robbers, and in it we learn that the Nephites are defending their personal rights and their liberty. Again, we learn that this is the last point that will be supported by the God, but if you will at least believe in this, the God will support you if you ask him to support you in that. And again, usually people who do believe in freedom and personal rights do believe in God, and so they usually go hand in hand. Well, in the letter, the robbers ask them to, and this is in verse 7, to unite with them and be partners of all their substance. And again, we note that what they're talking about is communism, and in it, they're claiming that they imply that man and or government owns the land, meaning that man collectively owns it, or the people own it, which means that it's really owned by government. And immediately when we begin to think that the government owns the land, we are replacing God with that government, and that even as we have done to a great degree today. Well, then in verse 9, that it repeats that they are a secret society. Well, now, if we have to ask ourselves, if they unite with the, if the Nephites agree to unite with them, who are they a secret against? The point here is that we have to recognize that the Book of Mormon is written by righteous men from God's point of view, or from a righteous point of view. These people are adept at the ways of the devil, meaning of the secret societies are. When they speak, they don't call themselves secret societies. They get flattering words, and they reword their society, and they say it in a way that makes it sound good. And so we have to recognize that they use flattering words, but they when they report it here, they cut through all of that, and they just give you the real intent of what was really meant in the righteous term of what the in a righteous way of speaking, what the evil intent was of these robbers, and that's the point. So again, what the sad part, this is one of the weaknesses of man that we learn about the reporting in the Book of Mormon. It was talked about when Mormon was talking about making this record. And there are weaknesses of men in how they report, because they don't realize that then obviously other evil men can use this and say, well, gee, we don't claim to be a secret society today, so we must not be the Gadiant and robbers sort of a thing. But nonetheless, we have the same desires, the same for power. And again, let's go down to verse 10, and what does it say they want? They want their rights of government. Again, they, with the dissenters, they figured out how to claim that they have a right to govern. See, that's their goal, so do we have the same goals? You bet. It's exactly that is the mark of Satan's wickedness, meaning that men govern, or they want to have authority over others, and that doesn't that matters not whether it's authority in the government, in the church, or in business. That is the mark of the Gadiant robber. That is a mark of the main wickedness of man and of the devil, is a desire to have authority and over his fellow man. And that is what we see in everything today. And then the more wicked part of them actually begin to use open covenants to get that. And I again say that even in the church we began to see a desire to protect the church during, for instance, not just during the portion of the Salamander letters and the murders that occurred from that, but it revealed that throughout history it keeps trying, it secretly takes off documents and things and hides them because it thinks it needs to secretly protect itself. The Lord doesn't need any secret protection at all. We don't care about these things. If your testimony is in Jesus Christ, then it's in Jesus Christ, and anything else is just what's used to take you away from that. So the choice is this leading you to Christ, or is it not leading you to Christ? And No matter what documentation is found about Joseph Smith's Book of Mormon history or anything else in the world has no relevance at all to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what it does to take you there. And but nonetheless, when people do get into these kind of, see, these are all these things are of men, and when they get into these things of men, then they show that their testimonies are weak, and they feel that therefore they also have to work in secret because that's man's way. Well, the nonetheless, we begin to see some of the again the repeated wickedness of the Gadianton robbers, and I do repeat it, is a wickedness is to dominate other men. Well, the leader of the Nephites, he then tells the people to cry unto God or unto their Lord. We ask us, is that what our leaders do today? No. Even in the church, they tell us to come to them, and they'll tell us what to do. No one tells you to cry unto your Lord. At best, they say, cry unto the Lord and tell them to support us, or tell the Lord to support your the doctor, they'll do something for you. They're always telling the Lord to support some man. And we don't cry unto the Lord to support us, directly take care of us, directly, or we don't develop things directly with the Lord. It's always trying to put men in between. And that's the way we have been taught in this church for many years, to always make men our intermediaries to God. Nonetheless, that's not their leader. This leader didn't say, hey, I've got a great idea, let me tell you. He tells them, go to the Lord. So then he tells them his plan. His plan is obviously received from Revelation, we'll see later, is to gather people into one place and build up a great fortification there. Now, when he did this, everybody obviously could have went, well, this is a good idea. We'll get all into one spot, and they'll have to come to us from roundabout, but we'll have all the fortifications, and we know that we have all our substance. They're robbing us because they don't have any. We'll bring it all into one place to protect it, and they won't have it, so they'll starve to death. They think of all sorts of reasons of man why this is a good idea. And so again, not only does it seem like a good idea of man, but also the leader of the Nephites could have took great glory in it. But he says, this is not what preserves you. But see, the people could have said, yeah, that's what's preserving you. But no, he says, what will preserve you is if you repent and turn to your Lord. And we see this man was a leader of the Lord. And when we call it leader, meaning that he turned the people of the Lord or recognized he was only a servant of the Lord and that the only thing that would save them was to turn them to the Lord. So it then goes on to say, no, that he was a great preacher. And he had the Spirit of God with him. And he preached with power and authority such that he inspired the people to turn to the Lord. And so then when they're turned, they then appoint as the leader of their army a man who has the spirit of prophecy and revelation. I mean, you keep these over and over. Do we do this today? We really don't believe. Our chief of police should have the spirit of prophecy and revelation to go find out, to use revelation to figure out where robberies and crime is going to be committed. We don't believe in any of these things. We don't use it. The power of God in our daily lives. The people then tell his leader of the army to go to the Lord. See, they are understanding this well, and they're believing in these things. So let's get our leaders to the Lord and have the Lord tell us what to do. And the Lord's plan is to defend in the center of the land, as we've already seen, which was the leader of the Nephites had already said that. So that is their plan. They gather to the center of the land, build up their fortifications, and then it says that they repent and call on the Lord. Again, the reason they're going to have success is they do the repentance and call on the Lord. But do not get in your mind that all of a sudden this is a righteous people and that these are true followers of Christ. Understand that they are in a situation where they see their enemies around them, they see they're about to be destroyed, and it is and there is strong motivation to center your life on the Lord, because the preservation of their life depends on the Lord. They can see that clearly, so their life is necessarily focused on the Lord. But the point is then when this goes away, will they focus on the Lord? Now, let me also point out there is a degree of righteousness here, because they could have just turned away from the Lord, or they will in the end completely, and just says, no, this is a good plan, we'll depend on ourselves. So there is a degree of righteousness, but they're in this situation because they didn't have the highest degree of righteousness in the first place. I mean, they couldn't even call on the Lord without the Lord, without this pressure. And then even a level above that is that they personally seek the Lord to do His will and make Him the governor of the guide of their personal life. They weren't there either. So they're quite a few levels down in their righteousness at this time.